said upside down.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is March 30th, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. And the title of today's podcast is Upside Down, You Convert Me Out of SVT. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Robert Edmonds. Bob is an emergency physician in the U.S. Air Force. This is his sixth visit to the SGEM. Welcome back, Bob.
Thanks, Ken. It's always a pleasure to be back.
Okay, before we get any further, you have to get your disclaimer out of the way.
Yeah, the views and opinions of this podcast do not represent the United States government or the U.S. Air Force.
It is hard to believe this is your sixth time on the SGEM. That is one more than my favorite number.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy that I've still been able to participate in the project this whole time. And it's kind of funny to me that it all started from a disagreement over a Popeye paperclip and a German chemist.
I know you're busy serving your country, so I appreciate you taking the time to help cut that knowledge translation window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year.
Oh, it's no problem, Ken. Happy to do it.
Can you give us a case, Bob?
Sure. So, a 7-year-old girl presents to your emergency department complaining of palpitations. On exam, she appears anxious and begs you not to give that drug that makes my heart stop, like that last doctor did. You know vagal maneuvers are first line, but there's variation in techniques. As the patient already tried breathing out of her clenched nose, you wonder if there's another safe method you can try prior to medications.
Well, supraventricular tachycardia, or SVT, has a prevalence anywhere from about 1 in 250 to 1 in 1,000 in children, and is the most common arrhythmia in children. 40% of patients experience their first episode of SVT in the first month of life, and over 50% have their first episode in their first year of life.
Vagal maneuvers are thought to be first-line treatment as they are non-invasive and can rapidly resolve the episode when successful. Several methods exist, such as carotid sinus massage, mammalian dive reflex, and the Valsalva maneuver.
We have covered SVT on the SGEM a couple of times. The first time was a Cochrane systematic review done by Smith et al. On the effectiveness of Valsalva maneuver for reversion of SVT. That was episode number 67. Only one study in that review was from the emergency department, and it reported a reversion rate of about 19%, so like about 1 in 5.
The second time we covered SVT was a critical review of the REVERT trial, SGEM 147. It was a randomized controlled trial using a modified Valsalva maneuver to convert SVT. The result was a return to sinus rhythm at 1 minute in 43% of patients treated with a modified Valsalva versus 17% of patients treated with the standard Valsalva.
This gives an NNT a number needed to treat of 4. So 4 patients needed to be treated with a modified Valsalva maneuver for one more patient to return to sinus rhythm at 1 minute. Have you tried to revert any of your patients, Bob? And if so, what's your success rate?
Yeah, I had 3 failures before my first one worked, but the patient and staff were all looking at me like I was a wizard, and there is no price on that.
Well, I have tried it a few times now, and it seems to work less than 40% of the time in my hands.
The authors of the study we're talking about today were aware of case studies of a modification to the Valsalva maneuver in children. The maneuver involves the child doing a handstand or being held upside down.
Seriously? A handstand? I have never heard of that until reading this study. Were these case reports from Australia, where everything is upside down, and I think the toilet's flush in the opposite direction?
The study we're looking at today is from Italy, but there were 2 different BMJ case reports they cite, one which took place in Bucharest and one which took place in Sheffield.
All right, Bob, give us the clinical question.
Is the upside-down position a safe and effective modified Valsalva maneuver?
And the reference?
So we're looking at Bronzetti et al., upside-down position for the out-of-hospital management of children with supraventricular tachycardia in the International Journal of Cardiology, February 2018.
It's time to run through the PICO. What was the population?
The population was patients aged 1 to 18 years, followed at the pediatric arrhythmology outpatient clinic with SVT.
And there was a number of exclusion criteria, which we'll list in the show notes. How about the intervention?
Our intervention was upside-down position treatment.
Yeah, parents manually flipped their children upside down if they were less than 30 kilograms or if they were uncooperative, and they flipped them upside down for 30 seconds. They also applied this to the children that weren't able to perform a handstand.
Also, cooperative patients over 30 kilograms were asked to perform a handstand for 30 seconds.
What did they compare it to?
For comparison, they used the standard Valsalva maneuver treatment.
Yeah, the semi-recumbent patients blew into a 10 mil syringe to move the plunger for 15 seconds. All right, let's go through their outcomes. What was their primary outcome?
The primary outcome was cardioversion out of SVT.
And how about their secondary outcomes?
And the secondary outcome was rescue cardioversion. So if the patients failed the maneuver, they then attempted the other group's technique, and this rate of cardioversion was measured. They also looked at relapse. At the patient's first relapse, the patients underwent the opposite intervention with the protocol to switch techniques in event of failure, which we'll discuss a little bit later.
The author's conclusions were, quote, the upside-down position was safe and tended to be more effective than standard Valsalva maneuver for out-of-hospital SVT treatment. Doctors and parents should be more aware of this effective but overlooked maneuver, end of quote. All right, let's go through the quality checklist for randomized clinical trials. The first question, the study population, did it include or focus on those in the emergency department?
No, this focused on out-of-hospital care. However, these patients do frequently present to the emergency department.
The patients, were they adequately randomized?
Yes.
Did they conceal the randomization?
Unsure, given the information in the paper.
Were the patients analyzed in the groups which they were randomized?
Yes.
The study patients were recruited consecutively?
No. There was selection bias. Patients were followed only in a tertiary referral center, and per the authors, quote, we selected patients and families that seemed very reliable, unquote.
The patients in both groups were similar with respect to prognostic factors.
Yes and no. They were similar with respect to subtype of SVT, but 1/6 more patients in the control group were receiving pharmacological prophylaxis than the study group.
All participants were unaware of group allocation.
No, group allocation was known. I guess if your parents hold you upside down by your ankles or the doctor asks you to do a handstand in the office, you kind of know what group you're in.
All groups were treated equally except for the intervention.
Yes.
Was the follow-up complete?
Yes.
Did they consider all patient-important outcomes?
Yes.
And the final question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
No. Statistical significance was not achieved.
All right, let's go through the key results. There were 15 girls and 9 boys enrolled in the study with a mean age of 7 years. They had different types of SVT, and 8 were already on pharmacological SVT prophylactic agents. All right, what was the primary outcome?
The upside-down Valsalva maneuver did not statistically convert more children out of SVT compared to standard Valsalva maneuver.
Yeah, so to drill down on that a bit, the upside-down position terminated SVT in 2/3 of the study group versus 1/3 in the standard group on the first try. So let's talk about their secondary outcomes, rescue, relapse, and relapse rescue.
There was no statistical difference in these outcomes either, and the details we put in the show notes.
And how about adverse events?
There were no adverse events recorded.
All right, Bob, it's time to talk nerdy to me. Do we have to have 6 things because this is your 6th appearance as the guest skeptic?
Yes.
So the first nerdy point is about selection bias, and the authors did address this in their manuscript. But patients were selected exclusively from a tertiary referral center. And the authors also stated that they selected patients and families that seemed very reliable. This makes it hard to apply these results to all children presenting to an emergency department with SVT.
Number 2, misleading figures. So figure 1 shows a flowchart to help describe the manner in which the patients flip between methods. When describing the patients in the study group for the first episode of SVT, the authors show how 4 out of 12 patients failed the upside down maneuver. The figure then shows these 4 patients undergoing a rescue Valsalva maneuver, but depicts how 8 of 8 patients that failed the upside down maneuver failed the rescue Valsalva maneuver. It's unclear how the patients doubled from 4 to 8, and this sort of error unfortunately detracts from the study.
The third point is about adverse events. The authors confidently state that the method is safe, but do not describe any sort of monitoring for adverse events. It is unclear if the parents were given instructions on needing to document any adverse events. The study was also far too small to claim safety, as it was not powered to investigate this outcome. It would have been more accurate to state that there were no adverse events observed. And this is what they did say in the results section of the paper.
Number four, study size. This was a relatively small study with only 24 patients. It should be replicated in a larger and preferably multi-center study.
All right, the fifth point is about trend. They report a trend towards greater effectiveness of the upside-down modified Valsalva maneuver compared to the standard Valsalva maneuver. What this means is the intervention was not statistically significant.
Number six, p-values. Superstar of emergency medicine, Dr. Ioannidis, published a paper suggesting we move the threshold for p-values to 0.005. He's the same author who wrote a paper called Why Most Published Research Findings Are False in PLOS 2005. This caused a bit of a Twitter storm about the misunderstanding and misuse of p-values, and this particular study relied on p-values to interpret the data.
P-values do not provide information on effect size, precision, or clinical significance of a result. We need to move away from interpreting anything less than 0.05 as significant and anything greater than 0.05 as non-significant. This is a much larger topic, and I'm going to put some links in the show notes to better understand the issue. All right, Bob, time to compare the author's conclusions to the SGEM's conclusions.
We disagree with the author's conclusions, in part because they claimed safety, but did not design the study for safety or adequately explain how adverse events were monitored. Additionally, we do not believe doctors and patients should be told this is an effective maneuver until it has been demonstrated in a high-quality study.
Can you give us an SGEM bottom line?
The upside-down maneuver exists, but further research is needed to determine if it has efficacy in children with SVT.
And how about a case resolution?
You attempt a standard vagal maneuver with the patient, which fails. The patient then undergoes chemical cardioversion with adenosine successfully.
How are you going to take this new study and apply this information clinically?
Well, there really is no clinical application for this upside-down modified Valsalva maneuver unless future research demonstrates its safety and efficacy.
What are you going to tell the patient, or in this case maybe, the parent or caregiver?
Well, I would inform the family that the upside-down technique is still under investigation and has not been demonstrated to be better than usual treatment. However, they can always discuss the modified Valsalva maneuver with a cardiologist at their next follow-up.
All right, for the Keener contest, last week's winner was Dave Lemonick from Pittsburgh. He knew MOOSE stood for Meta-Analysis of Observational Studies in Epidemiology, and PRISMA stood for Preferred Reporting Items for Systematic Reviews and Meta-Analyses. What's the question this week, Bob?
When attempting to induce the mammalian diving reflex to terminate SVT, the patient's face is immersed in cold water. What nerve affects the vagus nerve to make this maneuver work?
Well, if you know the answer to this Keener question, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool new skeptical prize. Well, thank you, Bob, for coming back on the SGEM, and stay safe.
Thank you, Ken. It's been great to be a part of this project, and I'm excited to look forward to number seven.
Last time you were here, you gave the SGEM tagline as a drill sergeant. Do you think this time you could do it like an Air Force pilot in a cockpit?
Copy that, Tower. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it in the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Over.
Talk to everyone next week.